What's on the horizon for financial markets? At PGIM, it's a question that over 1,400 investment professionals relentlessly research in pursuit of your long-term goals. Specialized across asset classes, but united in collaboration, our teams provide global and local expertise. Our investments shape tomorrow, today. Pursue your tomorrow with PGIM, a leading global asset manager.
It's Jim Cramer here. You're listening to the opening bell of CNBC's Squawk on the Street. Don't miss a minute of the action.
Good Wednesday morning. Welcome to Squawk on the Street. I'm Carl Quintanilla with Jim Cramer, David Faber at Post 9 of the New York Stock Exchange. All-time highs once again in sight as we get our first deceleration of the year for CPI, up 0.3. Touch light on headlines, some relief in services. The 10-year is down to 4.35. Our roadmap begins with that macro picture. Consumer prices with the first slowdown of the year. Retail sales flat. Jamie Dimon calls on the U.S. to get its fiscal house in order.
Plus, the intensifying AI race. Google is rolling out its most powerful AI assistant yet. OpenAI's co-founder and chief scientist is calling it quits. And a bipartisan Senate group out with a new report on how best to regulate the technology. And our Sarah Eisen is live from Jerusalem. She's speaking one-on-one with Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu.
Let's get to the CPI print. As we pointed out, 3.6 core year-on-year, Jim. Take you back to 2021. More than half is gasoline and shelter.
Yeah, and I think it's only going to get better. Gasoline, obviously, oil's come down. IEA with some reports saying it shouldn't be at this level. Food, we're starting to see some things in food that indicate that things are getting better. I mean, for instance, one of the things that they said that was bad was cereal. But as we know, David, remember I told you that Kellogg says that there's too much cereal? We're going to see buy one, get one. So the things that people are being hurt by, except for shelter and, of course, insurance, are going down. Did you see the refiners? They're collapsing.
Yeah. All right. Copper keeps going up.
Oh, but in reference to what? We don't use copper in our homes.
No,
we use it. Our data centers
use it a lot. All right, back to the market.
Don't live in data centers.
We might one day. Market response appropriate then?
I thought the market response was spot on. I do believe that this was the brown shoot quarter I've been waiting for, brown shoot month. And I know that people are saying a September rate cut is on. If you go to that Home Depot quarter, which was frankly sobering and somber, I think you would say, wow, they better start cutting now. It's too expensive to build. It's too expensive to rehab. If you have to get financing, you're not going to do it. So it's a waiting game. Carl, the Home Depot people were morose. They were morose.
Saturnine,
it was a moroseful call.
Saturnine, lugubrious.
Yeah, totally.
Well, it does bring to mind the retail sales goose egg, Jim,
where we had
e-com down 1.2, furniture down 0.5, to your point about Depot.
I just think that some of these are, that's one of the reasons why Wayfair can still be bought. But we have an economy where it costs too much to hire a contractor to make things better, that's the service part that they address, which therefore makes it so you don't buy more furniture. You don't really do anything. And that's what they're saying. People are sitting on their hands, and that is the world's worst for Home Depot. Garden season will be okay, not enough to do the job. David, big ticket, just not selling because people aren't doing anything. Because if you have to finance, which is what you have to do with a big project, no one's willing to finance because of PAL and rates.
Yeah, and well, there are a number of industries and or at least companies that are relying on a business pickup from people buying and selling homes and moving.
Yeah. Yes,
and this is
10%
one of
the economy, it punches above its weight.
We talked yesterday about our parent company in terms of broadband subs.
You have to work that in.
That tends to grow.
At 903, you work that in?
All the cable companies, it tends to grow. There's a lot of things that change when somebody moves. It's not just getting new furniture or refurbishing.
No, it's the most important thing for the retail economy.
Yeah.
Because you're not, I mean, apparel's up again. I continue to look at this and say, they're not including Temu. You want to knock down apparel, you pick the place. By the way, tens of millions of people buy from Temu. So it's not like, you think these numbers, you think the people who create the news release Bureau of Labor Statistics have ever heard of Temu?
Yes.
I absolutely do.
Of course
no, they do not.
Here's what you say. If only ServiceNow did the data, they would know about
Temu. There you go.
Who do you think? Do you think these people are living
Bill
in a
McDermott.
Dark cage somewhere? They're not, like, in part of the real world?
100%.
Okay.
Hundo P. Hundo P on that one, partner.
They have their pocket calculator still?
They don't know.
Their slide rules. What do you think they're doing?
They're going to Macy's. No offense to Macy's and the people who got on the board, which you didn't talk about because you're so busy killing the Paramount deal.
Maybe they're going to Sears.
Holy cow! Sears has nothing.
No, is there even Sears
lives in the Stanley Black & Decker world with Craftsman, where my father said you can use a hammer for 3 years and take it back.
One of the great Sears brands, for sure, Jim.
Yeah.
As for CPI, Jim, oil, now the rolling 30-day decline, 9%, worst of the year, makes you think next month's print might also be a little soft.
Oh, my God, it's going to be fantastic, and you're going to hear summer driving season. Well, we know that the domestic travel scene is not that strong. I call back, David, the Disney, remember the theme park number? They were concerned.
Yes.
And
Hugh
Valero
Johnson,
is not
the,
where you want to be.
The CFO of Disney.
Yeah.
The wording he used in particular.
That Hugh Johnson, CFO?
Yeah.
He killed Disney.
He really hurt the stock price because, what was it, moderation?
Moderation.
Was that the
word? Yeah, he's talking about new moderation. I don't think he recognized that this was not PepsiCo. You know, it was not like Frito-Lay, a little moderation, because they never had any. David, the stock they really want to beware of is Valero.
Why is that, Jim?
Because they're a refiner, and that's just getting squeezed. After having a halcyon moment, no. They're getting squeezed. You want to avoid those stocks. Take profits. Ka-ching, ka-ching.
So are you ready for a new string of highs in equities?
Until May 22nd, where everyone's just keying
NVIDIA.
Yep. And now they're blaming Jensen for making more money? Is that ridiculous? People are saying that Jensen's making too much money. I mean, versus Musk pay plan? And by the way, Musk deserves every penny.
Yeah, we'll start talking more about the Tesla vote for both the compensation plan and the reincorporation in Texas as it gets closer, June 13th. So it's less than a month away now. But back to Jensen, I mean, he's created a little bit of value along the way.
I would say so. And he certainly, it's not like he changed his sartorial impulse.
No, it's not like money. He's a media CEO who's getting paid $40 million a year. And what do you get?
I'm voting for his pay package.
This guy look at that stock. I mean, how can anybody argue? That said, he's a huge beneficiary of it as well, and he's worth, what, $40 billion now, right?
Well, I mean, David, everybody's a billionaire except for you. By the way, Home Depot's up 3.
On this sense of relief and rage.
Yes, the relief and rage. Because that's what they said they needed, because it's... I didn't mean to offend you. I'm just saying we have so many billionaires.
It's okay. I know that I'm not a billionaire.
Well, it's just a billion. I mean, like, here's a billionaire who's worth it. I think Musk is worth it, okay? But I do think that when you go back over, parse line by line on Home Depot, they are saying, unless rates come down, it's a waiting game until people feel like, wow, you know what? I'm sick of my place. I got to redo it. And that's not the impulse. You can't have that. Because people can just say, well, you know what? I'm sick of my place, but one day I'll do it. And the contractors didn't lower the prices.
You think Walmart tomorrow ratifies this view that the food part is safe and secure in the way of disinflation?
I think Walmart can roll back food prices. I really believe it because they've got their own private labels, which are better than ever. When you go into the natural part, the vegetable part of Walmart, when you go in there, David, David, you might as well be at Whole Foods.
Really? It's that beautiful.
Yes. Might as well be at Whole Foods.
How does it compare to Trader Joe's, which I did go into
Trader
this
Joe's
weekend?
Trader Joe's is a mess. Trader Joe's is just a free-for-all.
Really?
I don't
You're
need
unhappy
that.
With
I don't
Trader
need
Joe's.
That.
The price is
I'd rather
pretty,
go to Amazon.
Pretty compelling.
The price is, but David, I'm not going to go into that mosh pit.
I didn't find it that bad.
It's a mosh pit.
I really actually, the line moved very quickly. I got what I needed. Got out of there. It was Mother's Day, so obviously I had
The one day of the year that you shop. Okay, fantastic. Now I know the day.
It's true. If you want, let next Mother's Day call me. I'll pick something up for you.
My Mother's Day presents weren't appreciated enough.
They weren't?
Well, she doesn't watch. I can say whatever I want.
Yeah. Yep. Didn't go over well?
No, one was good.
You didn't get her another bathing suit
from Teemu,
did you?
One was good. The other one was, I know she wants to take it back. I have the receipt, but it's awkward.
Well, we're chopping away through it, but your point about NVIDIA is good, Jim. The major catalyst of the month.
Right.
CPI. Now we'll move on to some late high-tech earnings.
Yeah, but what's incredible is, this just shows you the true bull market. There's a piece out today about Dell, saying Dell is the linchpin, okay?
Morgan Stanley.
And the stock's up 5 on a research piece. You know, this is extreme bull market behavior. And by the way, notice that GameStop is coming down, which actually you would say, a bull would say, good, we need to wrench out that that particular.
You mean scale. After 120% move in 2 days?
I compare Best Buy, which was the same price. Mm-hmm. One has 43 billion revs. The other one has
I don't know what the number is, the overall revenue number at GME.
Oh, it's incredibly low. And I just want to say that the people who are doing this, who are running it, they're going to get away with everything because the government does not seem to care or is aware of what's going on.
What are you supposed to do? There's no laws against it.
There was a law made a distant moon ago in 1934, which said that not only will there be no this stuff in men. No, I think that what happened yesterday with Jay Clayton came on, former SEC chief, and said, look, this stuff shouldn't be allowed to happen. They don't really have a law to stop it. They have to have someone
who... No, that's my point. They don't.
No, they don't. But he was saying that perhaps it's not such a good thing. But have a revenues of $5 billion versus revenues of...
It does seem to undermine certain parts of the market's integrity. Yeah, of course.
But it's easy to say that, you know, Jay Gould had this all the time.
Right.
Jay Gould used to do this... Except for we've changed the law since school.
But I would think you would embrace it in a way. Because
I am
it's bringing more people back into the
Twitter?
Stock market and
you
exciting
should,
them. And
when the options open, they will try to do a pincer move, try to get the options money, the guys, the market makers, try to get them short and then jam it up.
We've got a fresh Roaring Kitty video this morning with clips of various movies saying he's back in the saddle. We're going to take a look at it later.
Oh, I love that. Blazing Saddles. Perfect.
That's a great movie.
Meantime, as we mentioned at the top, our Sarah Eisen will join us this morning live from Jerusalem in the next hour. Fresh off a major interview with Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu, here's a quick look at their conversation.
There's also a report today that the U.S. administration is pushing to release $1 billion of weapons aid to Israel. Can you confirm that? And do you have a sense of when that will happen?
Well, I hope it happens soon. Look, I appreciate the help we received from the United States from the beginning of the war. President Biden came here. He sent also these battle carrier groups, and we got weapons. Yes, we do have a disagreement on Gaza, and rather on Rafah. But we have to do what we have to do. And, you know, sometimes you just have to do what is required to ensure your survival in your future. We cannot continue into the future by having Hamas retake Gaza. It's not only would be a tremendous victory for Hamas, it would be a tremendous victory for the Iran terror axis, because Iran is trying to envelop us with a noose of death, of which Hamas is one component. And that victory is a victory against Iran. It's a victory for the moderate Arab states who are not openly, but who understand that their future is involved also with our victory against Hamas. So we are doing what we have to do, and I hope we can see eye to eye with the United States. We're talking to them, but ultimately we do what we have to do to protect the life of our nation and to prevent such savageries from being repeated again and again and again.
Full interview is coming up in the next hour. Meantime, Axios today reports that Netanyahu ranted to his security cabinet saying, quote, we are not a vassal state of the United States. Referencing so-called red lines and delays of shipments of weapons.
I always have to go back to the Yom Kippur War and look about the great Nixon resupply at the advice of Kissinger, where there was, where some people would argue that Israel was a vassal state if they had not resupplied. History seems to be very much forgotten. It's not that long ago.
But 50 years, yeah.
It wasn't that long ago that Benjamin Netanyahu was at Cheltenham High School, which is rivals with Springfield and with Jeff Sonnenfeld's Abington.
No kidding.
All rivals.
Right.
He played soccer ahead of me. A few years ahead of me. There's a fun fact for you.
I appreciate that. Thank you.
You're welcome.
We'll take a quick break here. Take a look at the pre-market. Busy session in the wake of CPI and retail sales awaiting Walmart tomorrow. We'll get to these comments from Jamie Dimon, talk some Google I.O., news on Tesla and Boeing as we once again take aim at fresh all-time highs. Back in a moment.
Let's get straight to the point. You want to grow your portfolio to fight rising costs of inflation or pay off your debt or anything standing in the way of you and financial freedom, right? Yahoo Finance, our sponsor today, can help. For more than 25 years, Yahoo Finance has been helping great investors like you. Whether you're a seasoned investor or just looking for tips, Yahoo Finance makes it super easy by putting all the tools and data you need in one spot. Yahoo Finance takes a holistic look at the financial news cycle, including breaking news, original editorial perspectives, analyst ratings, independent research, customizable charts, and more. You can securely link your brokerage accounts for a unified view of your wealth, including 401k and other investments. That's how Yahoo Finance gives you insights and helps you take a look at your wealth in its entirety. That big picture perspective is what great investors need. For comprehensive financial news and analysis, visit the brand behind every great investor, yahoofinance.com, the number one financial destination, yahoofinance.com. That's yahoofinance.com.
More volatility for the meme stocks ahead of the open today. Shares of GameStop and AMC both down in the pre-market. Still up triple digits for the week so far. Jimmy, you were just talking about the battle between the buyers and sellers.
Right. Well, there's really a question about whether anyone is shorting the stock to the buyers. So last night, around 4 o'clock, the buyers came in and they just blitzed it higher. And it just seemed like they were taking. There were no sellers. Maybe there's some sellers like who have a good till cancel order to sell. But then sellers just flooded into the market at 4:30 a.m. They were like heat-seeking missiles just blowing through all the bids. So you saw 52, 51, 50, right down to 40. And then they tried to recover. It took it back to 53 around 8 o'clock, and now they're back. There are real sellers. And that's what they didn't have yesterday. So they have to wait till options start, and then you have to short the options to be able to make the trade if you're a market maker. And they'll try to blitz them. But right now, the stock's very heavy because the valuation of it, no one can figure out how you can possibly get to the 40s. I mean, I did a compare last night to Best Buy because they had the same market capitalization. And one has $5 billion in revenues, one has $43 billion in revenues. One is making $16 million, the other one's making more than a billion. It's very hard to read because they're both gaming. You buy gaming at both those places. So the people who are doing the memes, if they actually want to do a comp, a compare, compare right now to Best Buy, and you'll understand why you're paying too much.
Are you saying the craze, to the degree it's been a mania of sorts, is peaked?
Well, I think that the company's a little wiser. I think that there is no investment case, and there's not a lot of shorts. They need more shorts. They need more short sellers that they can bust. And right now, they haven't succeeded in making these people cover. Only 24% of it is short. David, that's not enough. Of GameStop, that's not enough to generate a true short squeeze. Typically,
it's not really a quarter of the outstandings being short.
No, but they had 100%
before. 100 plus, right?
Yeah, it was obviously when the meme stock craze began years ago. It was a much higher percentage. Right. That's true.
Now I will say,
although they've suffered some serious pain.
No, but they did have a profitable. They did have the last 12 months. They were profitable 23, but I don't think they're making a lot of money now. I mean, this is a very bad time to be in that particular business, okay? Bad time to be in the gaming business.
Yes, it would seem to be.
I mean, even if
you're delivering it digitally, if they somehow are, transition.
Well, that's free, you know.
Brick and mortar, yeah.
Brick and mortar,
Have they come up with a new strategy under Ryan Cohen that you're aware of? Because I haven't followed it.
A mystery. I suggested many different strategies.
Oh, well, I'm aware you did.
And I always...
You also have some land in New Mexico. They're interested in that.
I have 600,000 acres in option.
Maybe a gaming theme
park. I think
that
anybody who's in the gaming business would be wise to think about that 600,000 option. You could build Walt. When Walt came to Florida, there was nothing there.
Yes.
There's nothing
swamp.
In New Mexico.
It was
nothing.
Swamp land.
My place
is
midway between Denver, which is a city of
success.
Yes. And Austin, used to be a city of success.
Sounds like data centers to me. Just go for it. Data centers.
Don't forget water.
Put up a power plant.
Okay.
Yeah.
This TBA. I'm coming with TBA.
We'll work on it.
Let the government do it. Biden will do it. He has New Mexico. He's got that. Arizona's a battle state. He'll do it in Arizona. He'll do it in Michigan. He'll do it in what? Nevada?
And now it looks like we got debates going on.
Debates about debates,
yes,
anyway.
Yeah.
Very exciting time.
Oh, it's exciting.
Ooh. We'll get Cramer's Mad Dash countdown to the opening bell. Take a look at the pre-market. 52.64 is the number to beat the March 28 highs. Stay with us.
The most innovative companies are going further with T-Mobile for Business. Tractor Supply trusts 5G solutions from T-Mobile. Together, we're connecting over 2,200 stores with 5G business internet, empowering AI so team members can match shoppers with the products they need faster. This is enriching customer experience. This is Tractor Supply with T-Mobile for Business. Take your business further at T-Mobile.com/now.
Here we are again. It's hump day, as we like to call it.
Yes.
At Squawk on the Street. Time for a mad dash. We got 6 minutes before we get started with trading here at the New York Stock Exchange. You want to? We're going to come back to housing here and talk Toll Brothers.
Well, we've talked Israel. We've talked GameStop. We've talked Dell. How about a company that's at the crux of what's going on in the world right now, CPI? Toll Brothers. Okay, you know I said that's the best home builder. They are reporting on May 21. This is going to set the tone. You have Toll Brothers on the 21st, then you'll have NVIDIA. It's a 1-2 punch to try to figure out what's working. Wells Fargo raises its price target, 142 to 150, ahead of the quarter. Historically, a dangerous thing to do because you got to go through the thicket of interest rates. But look at this. This is America's premier home builder. Their homes are between 900,000 and 1 million.
Yep.
That's not what J. Powell wants to see. Remember, housing's up 35% from 2019. So this is emblematic of both everything we love about our country, which is you can build, buy a new home, and what we don't like, which is they're not putting up enough homes for Powell. But yet they don't work for Powell.
No,
they work
don't.
For the shareholders, and they've been a monumentally good company for years and years and years. And Bob Toll, late Bob Toll, was an amazing charitable man in Philadelphia.
Yes, I'm aware. I'm well aware. I know the family. All right, we got an opening bell just a few minutes away. Don't go anywhere.
America is spending, we spent a lot of money. And during COVID and after COVID, and our deficit 6% now, that's a lot. But obviously that drives growth. So any country can borrow money and drive some growth, but it may not always lead to good growth. So I think America should be quite aware that we got to focus on our fiscal deficit issues a little bit more, and that is important for the world. So yeah, that did drive some of the growth. At one point, it'll cause a problem, and why should you wait? Because the problem will be caused by the market, and then you'll be forced to deal with it, and probably in a far more uncomfortable way than if you dealt with it to start.
It's Jamie Dimon talking to Wilfred Frost of Sky today, Jim, about the fiscal situation, a message that's been echoed by some of his colleagues, for example, at Goldman recent days.
True. The one thing he did say that I'm starting to hear percolation from the people who are in infrastructure is we keep thinking that, oh, it's just a waste of time. There could be a multiple to growth. And I know Larry Fink thinks about that. A multiple to growth that could actually help the GDP. Dave, we have to grow our way out. The only way out is to grow our way out.
Well, we got to get tax revenues up then as well.
But we have to grow. Right. We have to grow,
but that said, when interest costs represent an $800 billion cost for the budget, approaching defense, expected to get to as much as $1 trillion a year, that can have a depressive effect to a certain extent
in any country,
on GDP.
Yeah, you know what? Neil Ferguson, he's been saying over and over again, if the amount of interest is higher than defense, that has historically been the downfall of a country. So Ferguson's a very smart guy. He's written some great. The Pity of War was one of the great books about the economy and war. Fabulous book.
Let's get a look at this open, the big board, the CNBC Real-Time Exchange. It's Pinterest today, celebrating its fifth listing anniversary, and Jim's going to talk to Bill Ready on Mad tonight.
Yes, and I'm very excited. That company, along with Reddit and even Snap, have changed it. So now you have the big ones that are kind of like ABC, CBS, NBC, and then you have this tier, which could be like TNT. David, it could be like CNN, whatever you want. How is TNT doing? Do you have anything new?
No, I don't.
No.
TNT was great to watch last night. I really enjoyed every minute of their programming from 8 o'clock until 10:30.
Speaking of which, at the NASDAQ, it's Lionsgate. First day of trading as a standalone content company. And we got all-time highs, Jim, right at the open.
Well, look, I don't like huge up openings. I wish things were cool. But there are many reasons to buy stocks. And I kind of echo the fact that you've got this thing going on. Google, Amazon, Meta, Apple. So are our companies that are banking. Banking's been incredibly hot. The food stocks have been hot. Utilities have been great. I like the transport. So you talk about everything other than health insurance, which I'm not going there, David. Not going.
You're not going there? Well,
too high.
Pretty much everything is up right now. Obviously, again, a minute and a half into trading. This morning.
Oh, you mean there's more to it than
there's a little bit more. We'll see how the day works through.
Toll Brothers is up 5. What? Now that's just too easy. If you're a bull, it's too easy. The home builders work, and it's a lower rate environment. Sell GameStop by Toll Brothers.
Apparently today is the sell GameStop, at least right now, but that could change very quickly. Banks are also having a nice little early move here.
Right.
But we'll see how we moderate.
You sound a little skeptical, to use Will's term. You sound a little skeptical about the rally.
I'm not. I leave the market prognostications to you, as you know.
Thank you.
September, I don't know, right before an election, we're really going to get a cut?
Unemployment has to go above 4. It's got to go above 4 in order to make it work. Otherwise, Powell's going to look like he's just throwing fuel, acetylene on a fire. But if we get unemployment above 4, then I think he's got something he can say. Right now, David's right. I think that you have an economy that is still burning hot. And one of the things that's burning hot, I don't think we can actually talk enough about the construction of data centers, because they're everywhere. They're trying to figure out where to put them. I mean, some states have like 40 of them because they have cheaper power, but there are whole states that can't afford them because power is too expensive. And it's funny because we saw actually power was down a little bit. But you got to be very careful because we better have. I had Nextracker on yesterday. They're the ones, and then really nice move, by the way, in the stock. They're the ones that help it so you can get more money, more power out of solar. And the problem with it is that solar is going to be 25% of the grid by 2030. Wind's got to be 25%, or else we cannot meet the demand. Nextracker up a quick 4 today, NXT. We can't meet the demand of the data centers without wind and solar, because nat gas isn't going to do it.
Speaking of which, Jim, big Google presentation. Deirdre Bosa talking to Sundar Pichai yesterday on our air. I thought it was interesting. The CEO of Perplexity at an Axios conference said, in a world where everyone doesn't have to click on links, the biggest loser is Google.
I know. Well, that is a very controversial thing. I mean, the other day I was looking up. David, you'll like this because it's very much what is going on in the world. I'm doing a long takeout on billionaires. And I'm including Barry Sternlicht because of some of his SPACs have been suboptimal. So you go to Google and you Google his SPACs, you get nothing. You go into ChatGPT and you say Sternlicht SPAC, and you get a list of every SPAC, stock symbols, how they're doing. And it's like, oh my God, that is like having 5 researchers.
Yeah. It's an interesting moment for Alphabet. We've been talking about it for some time. The existential crisis that we sort of sensed might be coming was resolved very quickly by investors, and they seem to say, yeah, no such crisis here. You can see that little down move earlier in the year. I think that was sort of it, and it's been straight up since, because there is a belief that they are going to be just fine. Obviously, they dominate search, 90% of all search, and the question has been, in a new world of generative AI, are they going to lose that grip, that market share? They introduced yesterday a very much new way, which will be AI generated.
Yes.
It'll give you sort of a summary. It will be available to most, if not all, people who use Google at some point. And,
well, you have to play with it.
You know, you do. You're not going to get links, but advertisers obviously are still going to be a part of whatever is generated. I think there's also a concern for those who rely on the links being clicked to take them somewhere else. For example, publishers and people who rely on the traffic from search to come to their website. So that may be as much, if not more, fallout from it than continuing to wonder whether they have that iron grip on search in the generative AI world as opposed to the previous one.
Let me add to that. Let's say I obviously am a gardener and I'm trying to figure out whether I want, what kind of tomatoes I want. So I could go to Alphabet, I could go to Claude, my buddy Claude.
Yeah.
I went to Pinterest. And Pinterest had some really good takeouts of what recommended for German, I like these German tomatoes. And then you click, and it takes you to a very good store. It didn't used to do that. And I bought some, and that is a very nice lower end of the funnel. Again, this is what's happening. You get these sites like Pinterest, and suddenly you see the numbers spike. They have 500 million users, and you're able to buy things.
Give me the 5-year on Pinterest since it's
Nothing. But Bill Reedy came in 2022 with a game plan to make it so it was going to be a very relevant site.
And, right.
You know, it's a remarkable
there
change.
All right. So obviously, it's nowhere near the COVID, the pandemic.
Right. Well, people are sitting at home.
I can
think, dreaming about travel. But now there's many different sites, and I find that if you're doing something arts and craftsy, which is, I know, another bailiwick that you specialize in, you'll want to go to Pinterest.
Speaking of advertising, which obviously is what Alphabet relies on, not to mention Meta, it is the upfront season. And Disney had theirs yesterday. Jimmy Kimmel, Bob Iger showing up as well for the first time in quite some time. It's pretty funny.
Did you get it?
Kimmel was great.
Kimmel was really funny.
The bit about bundling.
Yeah.
Bundling is like getting in a sleeping bag with your uncle because you don't want to freeze to death.
And you've seen our churn rates. This is not just churn. It's Chernobyl.
Really,
he also came after the new product introduced yesterday by Brian Roberts right here at our parent company called StreamSaver. Remember, that is the combination, we don't really know pricing yet, of Netflix, Apple TV, and Peacock, thought to be potentially for Netflix, certainly an opportunity for them to reduce churn if they need to. Interesting, the inclusion of Netflix in that bundle. He said, StreamSaver sounds like a catheter you might find for sale on TuckerCarlson.com. Thanks. You just leaving me out there. At least he laughed. Now I get fired and you stay.
Well, yesterday was my fire day. So now you get fired.
Well, I'm going to throw our executive producer under the bus. He's the one who wanted me to do it.
I thought about you yesterday because I was thinking Morgan Stanley's a good example. They don't have a single overweight in cable sat except for Comcast.
Well, look,
given
I mean,
as some of the attributes David mentioned.
Comcast, parent company's network, Comcast has a lot of optionality that I still think they haven't taken advantage of. Buyback has clearly not worked. Dividend has not done anything. So I think what you do, if I were to do a piece on Comcast for Mad Money, I would say, listen, here are things that don't work, so now you got to figure out how to reinvent the company. I would say that about, I can't say that about the other cable companies. They don't have the optionality. But if you come in with a package that has maybe the most powerful companies on earth as a bundle and your stock is down, then I think what that says is, okay, that didn't work. Let's think about what...
Well, I don't know that it's viewed as a market-moving phenomenon.
But with the two best companies in the industry, no, and you do a bundle?
It's not unimportant, but it's part of NBC Universal, which is a smaller part of the overall company. As we've gone through it so many times, this company moves on its ability to generate free cash flow, its broadband subs, those are the key issues. Right. We don't need to go over it again.
Well, but fixed wireless is cutting into those, and yeah, all I can say is that when you have a balance sheet like that, you use it to be able to come to reinvent the company. And
yes,
that there's nothing wrong with that. If you're some really unbelievable companies, like a company that I'm quite familiar with, that you are too, GE. I mean, Larry Culp did not come in and say, you know what, we got to do exactly what Jeff Immelt did, because it's really the blueprint.
No.
And he
but
didn't
they
say
were in a very, very difficult
but
position.
But their balance sheet was far worse than Comcast.
Yes.
And yet they still managed to get
Raytheon did.
Was remarkable.
Yep.
Carrier and Otis, they changed stripes. Sometimes if you have to change stripes. You can't be the same company. This company was an advertising business.
People really like to cheer.
Well, it's their fifth year.
They're a very enthusiastic bunch.
Now, you'd like to kill that, wouldn't you?
I don't like enthusiasm.
I know.
I don't like spunk. I'm like Lou Grant.
No, how about Splunk? They merged now with Cisco. Maybe it helps Cisco.
Are we going to get them? Yeah.
Guys, Tesla is going to start to become more of a news story in terms of that vote on June 13th or prior to June 13th when the company's holding its annual meeting on both the reincorporation in Texas and the 2018 comp plan that was rescinded, essentially,
right,
by Chancellor McCormick in Delaware. They are still doing it under Delaware law. In other words, they're resubmitting it to shareholders under Delaware law. And it's interesting, the two votes are not quite the same. The reincorporation in Texas requires 50.1% of the outstanding shares to be voted in favor of reincorporation. So part of the task for Tesla is going to have to get retail investors, for example, to vote.
You mean that Elon Musk has to start kissing babies?
No.
Is it an election?
Yeah, he's going to have to get out there and kiss babies. But they are requiring people to engage with the proxy and actually vote in favor, because a no vote doesn't help them. They need 50.1% of the outstandings to vote in favor of reincorporation. When it comes to the comp plan from 2018, which right now is worth some $44 billion. Remember, by the way, it was options. It wasn't restricted stock the way so many other CEOs get it. And so really, there was a lot on the line for him. It could very well have ended up as a big zero. Obviously, we know the story of Tesla from 2018 through now in terms of the total return, in terms of the move to profitability and everything else that occurred at the company over that time period. Look, you're looking more recently, but we can go back to 18 and see. That vote requires, obviously, Musk can't vote his 13 or so percent, and you need a majority of the votes that have been received to be in favor. So it's not the outstandings there, it's a majority of the shares voted need to be in favor of saying yes to his comp plan.
Wow. So what are the Black Rocks going to do?
I don't
know. How do they flood Vanguard? What are they going to do? State Street? What are the rating these different, you know, proxy value?
Everybody's going to weigh in on it.
But do you think there's a chance that any of those would look at the contract, which is ironclad, and say no? Or would they vote against Texas?
I don't know. The first time through, BlackRock voted in favor, but a number of the other big index funds, I believe, voted against. It still was approved, significantly so, 73%.
Yeah.
It was a contract. It was an odd choice in some ways. There are certain legal scholars would say for Delaware to intervene in. Given it was business judgment.
Wow. Business judgment.
But Chancellor McCormick pointed to what she felt like was a board that was unduly influenced by Mr. Musk. Obviously, Tesla says no, and we'll do it again under Delaware law, and this way we won't have to have any lawsuits about it. We'll do it again.
This is coming up. This is going to be a seminal issue.
Yes.
This is a man who's created more money than almost anybody else, created great wealth. And yet, and has a pay package that, as David said, could have left them nothing. RSUs, he would have had something, no matter what, stock units. I find that this is actually appalling that this man has to even be subjected to this. But you know what? It's America, yeah. And judges are powerful.
Some constituents in the shareholder base would argue it's about disclosure. Meantime, yes. The founder of NIO, our Eunice Yoon, posting today, unveils a new EV brand called Onvo, and calls the Tesla Model Y an example of the past. So you can imagine,
wow,
Chinese competition will heat up.
Oh, man. You know, I keep thinking about the 100% tariffs and how they're even going to police. They're going to police Mexico. Bill Ford had said that this was the existential crisis for Ford, and now that's over.
Right. It's an important point, because you've made the point. Obviously, we're not getting any Chinese EVs in our market. It's just not happening.
No, that would be a great company.
They are going to compete with our automakers' EVs in markets around the world and probably win, because they're going to be so much cheaper.
Win everywhere.
But you've made the point that could China move manufacturing to Mexico and then take advantage of NAFTA?
They're
but it doesn't
that.
Appear that that's going to be
that
the case.
Trojan horse apparently is over. You're not going to be able to build those cars in Puebla and ship them up. They're not going to build Monterey. Not going to happen. Ford and GM news winners. Nobody cared yesterday because those companies are in the bottom eighth of the S&P because people feel that, well, they're just going to do poorly.
What if the Chinese build manufacturing here in the United States and hire United States citizens to make the cars?
I think that that's what they ought to be in Washington saying, but they don't seem to want to play ball.
Yeah.
Jim, it'll be interesting to see if the sell side reacts to the data today. BMO just up to 5,600. That's going to be a street high out of Brian Belsky.
Brian has been dead right. And I saw him here the other day, and he has been just terrific. Ed Yardeni has done some good work. The bond vigilantes are nowhere to be found. The rates went up too high. Everyone thought that this was the spike to 5 for the 10-year. That didn't happen. It's almost impossible to find a group that is out of favor. Almost impossible. Let's see. I mean, you have Boeing, about to be, you know, perhaps.
The DOJ.
I don't know. You can't indict a company.
Deferred prosecution agreement.
The DOJ. I mean, they got to, go after a person. You can't go after a company. There is no companies. I mean, it doesn't affect anybody. They go after a person, that changes people's attitude. But I just find that other than that company, aerospace is incredible. So I just find over and over again, it's very difficult to find an area of the stock market that's bad. Very hard.
Morgan Stanley with a great piece today on summer travel, especially at the higher income levels, Jim, their intentions to spend a net 32% increase in spending intentions for the upper income strata.
The MasterCard survey, which we covered extensively here yesterday, has some great things to say and about travel. And by the way, Steve Squeri from American Express, he told you about this very, very, very early on, that we did have a level of travel that did, you know, everyone was going away after the pandemic. But now we're sorting things out again and normalizing. Wealthy people are traveling. David, the billionaires, they're traveling and they're forcing people off islands.
Yeah, they don't travel the way we travel. They just make a phone call, get in their plane, and they're off.
You revise Fitzgerald?
And then they land on their giant.
You just revised F. Scott Fitzgerald.
Green light?
They're different. Yes, they're
not like you and me.
They're different than you and me. They are. I know.
Plus, I mean, how many times?
I every day I wear jeans.
Are those Brioni jeans?
They're nice. They're very nice. Don't worry.
They're
Mary Duffy makes sure I only wear the best
and
jeans.
And the exchange doesn't mind anymore, so it's
I went to see Zuckerberg, I had $12 pants on. He liked them.
Of course he did.
Got them from TJX.
Yeah.
They're hot.
Watch bonds today in the wake of the cooler, at least headline CPI print. We did get the 10-year down to 4.35, just a touch above at the moment. Interesting to see the VIX with a 12 handle for a few minutes. We'll be right back. Coming up at the top of the hour, our Sarah Eisen live from Jerusalem with a major CNBC interview, speaking one-on-one with Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu. We will be right back. Stay with us. It's time for Jim and Stop Trading.
You know, it's tough to keep that GameStop up, by the way. Look, I if you want to know the company that captures the zeitgeist at the moment, it is Vertiv, which has most of the inside stuff that is in a data center. I don't know when this thing can stop. It's got a 42 multiple, but this morning, Bank of America raises it from 100 to 115, premier data center play, and I think it's going to go there. It's just the zeitgeist of the moment. Data centers, we can't get enough of them.
Meantime, Jim, pins tonight?
Yes, pins tonight, and very, very excited because I think Bill Reddy has made this major turn. Remember, I'm saying that there's a couple of winners left. Pinterest is a place to put ads.
Yeah.
Reddit. And they're replacing TV. That's what they're doing. They're surpassing, and they are.
We got another minute or so. But guys, I mean, we talked Tesla. I don't know. You notice Rivian's down a lot. I don't know what the reason is, Jim. You also sent me the latest data from China.
Which is terrible.
Sales. That's Tesla related, and maybe one reason why that stock's a bit
that
weak
could be
this
the
morning.
Tesla
not
numbers
sure why,
in China
why Rivian is down over 7%.
Well, it did have little bump
I missed
there.
That. Sorry. Thought maybe somebody else knew.
Look, I think the big question when you buy Rivian is do they have the horses to stay in business? I think that the Fisker situation really got people. Lucid's getting people. I think a lot of people love the Rivian, but you always have to feel like do you have Tucker. You know, is it a Tucker?
Tucker as in the car maker?
Yes.
Yeah.
Jeff Bridges.
Right, that movie.
One of the greatest.
Coppola.
Yeah. Was that Coppola? Yeah.
That was a Coppola movie?
Who's got a new movie. One? Megalopolis.
He doesn't stop.
Needs
Isn't
a distributor.
That fantastic. I just love that.
Jim, we look forward to tonight.
Thank you very much.
Money, 6 p.m. going to be big. After the break, as we said, we'll take you live to Jerusalem for that interview with Israeli Prime Minister Netanyahu as the S&P and NASDAQ holding all-time highs.
You've been listening to the opening bell on CNBC's Squawk on the Street.
All opinions expressed by the Squawk on the Street participants are solely their opinions and do not reflect the opinions of CNBC, NBC Universal, or their parent company or affiliates, and may have been previously disseminated by them on television, radio, internet, or another medium. You should not treat any opinion expressed on this podcast as a specific inducement to make a particular investment or follow a particular strategy, but only as an expression of an opinion. Such opinions are based upon information Squawk on the Street participants consider reliable, but neither CNBC nor its affiliates and/or subsidiaries warrant its completeness or accuracy, and it should not be relied upon as such. To view the full Squawk on the Street disclaimer, please visit cnbc.com/Squawk on the Street disclaimer.
Imagine earning a degree that prepares you with real skills for the real world. Capella University's programs teach skills relevant to your career so you can apply what you learn right away. Learn how Capella can make a difference in your life at capella.edu.